Hey, I'm Janelle Anae, and you are listening to the Next Level Confident podcast, a show focused on helping you live your most confident life, whatever that means to you. My husband and co-host, Frankie, and I will be chatting about everything from money to relationships to thought patterns and inner healing to having main character energy to the occasional Netflix show reference. So if you are ready to overcome your negative self-talk, start becoming the most magnetic version of yourself and living your life in full confidence so you can finally go after your dreams, then you are in the right place. And it's time to start showing up as this confident version of you right now. Let's get into the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Next Level Confident podcast. I have my amazing husband with me, Frankie Bagnone.
Bonjour, je me sais quoi, je suis content.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
What did you say?
Merci. I said, hello, I'm happy.
That's all of that. It was just, I'm happy.
I don't know.
He learned how to say that and then he would say it all the time. Well, you learned from your roommate.
From Marty. Martin William O'Grady the first.
Oh, Martin.
Best hockey player this side of the Mississippi.
We love you, Marty. And then when we were in France, you would like say that a lot, even though you had no idea what it meant.
They loved it.
Je me suis pas chant. I can't
absolutely
say. Okay, should we sing for them the song that we were singing right before we got started?
I'm not trying to not do it. I forgot though.
So you're purposely not doing
this? All right, what is it? I'm feeling good.
G-double-O-D.
If you don't like your life, then
get away from me.
Just kidding. All are welcome here.
All are welcome. If you
don't, as long as you're in a good mood. Otherwise,
oh my gosh. No, you don't have to be in a good mood to be here, but hopefully you'll leave in a better mood than we found you.
Absolutely. Well, what are we talking about today, Janelle?
Well, Frankie, I'd love to tell you. We are going to be talking about, I haven't thought of like a fancy title for this yet, but dating is like sales.
One of my favorite topics.
Frankie loves talking about sales. He is
in sales.
He's in sales. He's in tech sales. And so this podcast is actually his idea, which I'm just, to be honest, I think of a lot of the ideas and then he like supports in the ideas, but this one is fully created by Frankie, my sweet husband.
That's right.
By the way, I have to give you a quick shout out. Frankie completed his second half Ironman this weekend up in Oceanside. How did it go?
It went great. The fans were very supportive. Janelle was very supportive and we had a blast doing it. Didn't die. Ate a lot of free snacks, lots of bananas, lots of water, lots of Gatorade.
So if you don't know what an Ironman is, it is, well, a half Ironman, I will say. It's three things. It's first swimming and then biking and then running. Frankie, what are the miles of each one?
Let's see if you know them.
Okay. I think it's a 1.2 mile swim.
Yep.
And then a 56 mile bike ride.
Yep.
Is it exactly 56 or is it 56 point something?
56.
56 mile bike ride. And then it's a half marathon, which I think is 13.2 miles. 13.1 miles.
Good job.
I did pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty stressful because there's like thousands of people there. Like literally there was almost, I think close to 3,000 people doing the race itself. Then you have to think about all the people who are there supporting. So there's like thousands of people smashed in this little area. And then I have an app and I can like track Frankie on the app. And then also one of my besties, Emma's doing it. And a bunch of people from our church were doing it, like friends of ours. So I was actually tracking six people on the app. And so six people are like, and they all started at different times too. Like Frankie started right at 7 a.m. And then some people start at like 7:30, like they're all staggered. So I'm like running around Oceanside with my app, trying to like see everyone at different checkpoints and things like that and get to see each person as much as possible. But I will say about halfway through, I got so exhausted of trying to see everyone at different points. I mostly committed to seeing Frankie and Emma because you two were the most important to make sure that I saw like four or five times during the entire race.
I know when you told me about all the tracking that you have to do, if you've ever been to a triathlon or even a marathon or a race, it's like, if you're a spectator, you basically get one like quick glimpse of your person going by. And you're like, if you miss a moment, it's so devastating because with these longer races, like I was on my bike for 3.5 hours almost, and then running for just under two. And it's like, if you miss a person, they're gone for a long time.
Right. And like, it's not like you don't really get in your car, at least in this situation, you don't get in your car and like chase them down in your car, because there are so many road closures because of all the bikers and runners and swimmers and everything. So you're on foot. So you can only do so much on foot to be able to go see these people who are literally, you know, biking, which is faster than on foot, and running, which is, I mean, I'm not like sprinting my face off to go to different checkpoints and stuff. You
could
know,
have ran it with me.
I did have a few running moments, actually, which I don't really do much running, but I saw Frankie and he gave me a quick kiss as he had transitioned from biking to running. And you gave me a kiss and then you were like, do you have any snacks? And then you ran off. And then I was like, oh man, he must be really hungry, because they kind of like eat snacks and stuff along the way and like do like goo and random crap. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I have an RX bar in my fanny pack. So then I was like,
I said that to Janelle and I'm running, doing my thing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I hear Frankie, Frankie. And I was like, wait, why is Janelle yelling at me? And I turn around.
And I'm like sprinting, like, because I thought of it like probably 15 seconds after he ran by. And then he's running pretty fast. He's running like, you were running 8.5 minute miles, right?
Yeah.
For all 13 miles. So he's running pretty fast. I'm like sprinting to try to catch up to him through all the people. And I like, I'm holding up my RX bar. I'm like, Frankie, I have an RX bar. And then you were like, I didn't know that there's like a rule, you can't even receive food from outside parties. So you're like, I'm fine, I'm good. I'm like, you just told me you're hungry and I'm sprinting towards
you.
You
knew I was kidding.
I didn't know you were kidding. Yeah,
I probably didn't say it with a very joking tone at that point.
No, you're just like, do you have any snacks? Kiss.
Did I say it like that?
Kind of. I mean, you're a little exasperated. You just swam a mile, 1.2 miles, and biked 56 miles at that point. So yeah. And then I sprinted one other time because Frankie had a guy friend from his gym, the yard here in San Diego. And we had gotten dinner with him the night before. That was my first time meeting him. But anyway, when he was running by, I wanted to get some content for him, because like, you all know, I love content because I'm constantly getting content for myself. And I love getting content for other people too, because I feel like, I mean, I'm not trying to sound braggy, but I'm really good at taking pictures. I'm really good at taking videos. Anytime I do that for people, they're always like, oh my gosh, these are like some of the best pictures I've ever gotten. And this is actually reminding me of, when we were in Italy at the Arezzo Beach Club. I know we need to get started.
No, we're good.
You just checked the time. I'm talking too much. We were at the Arezzo Beach Club in Italy, and there was this woman who was with her boyfriend, and he was like, I think taking a couple pictures of her, but you could tell they were starting to get like a little bit in like an argument or something. And I was like, this queen, she deserves a real photo shoot, because we are at this iconic beach club in Italy. So I like went up to her and I was like, hey, I don't want to be weird, but like, do you want me to grab some photos of you? And she was like, is that like too much to ask? And I was like, no, like, please, I love getting photos for people. So I did like a whole photo shoot for her. I was like walking her through. I was like, okay, now like walk like you're walking on a tightrope, like you want to cross your legs across so that like your legs look like elongated. And I'm like coaching her through it all. And then I show her all the pictures and she's like, these are amazing. And I'm like, oh, just saving their relationship from getting in a huge fight about
what couple
pictures.
Was this again?
It was like a black couple, and she was like, I don't know, they were sitting a few seats ahead of us. We didn't really talk. We didn't talk a whole lot with them other than I just did this photo shoot for her for like 10 minutes, maybe at most. And, she was an absolute freaking curvy queen. And I was like, this woman just deserves to have the best pictures here. And so she told me that they were some of her favorite pictures.
That's
and she's
awesome.
Like, I look so good. And then, oh yeah. And then later on we did see her and she was like, I sent those pictures to my sister and she was freaking out. And I was like, I know, like you look so good. Anyway, I love hyping people up for content and pictures. And, so as Derek was running by, I was like, let's get content. And so I pull out my phone and I'm like running alongside of him to get the video. Cause I'm like,
he loved it.
I'm like, this man needs some good content of his Iron Man. So anyway, that's the Iron Man. I'm proud of you. You
Thank
crushed
you, dear.
It. I love you.
Thanks for being there.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't.
All right. Let's do this thing.
Let's talk about dating is sales.
All right. Why is dating like sales?
Well, Frankie, you are the official sales man. Tell us why you think it's
we've got 11-ish points. We might bounce around, but we wrote a few things out. But the point is that when you're selling something, you have to cast a wide net, but you also have to be very specific about what type of customers you're going after.
Our dog is just really weird things behind us.
What type of customers you're going after? You have to protect your time. You have to know what you're looking for. You got to know when to say no. So we're going to go into all those different things and discuss why dating is like sales.
Okay, so what's the first thing that you do in sales when it comes to becoming a selling person?
I mean, I'd say the first thing, and I know it's not in order of our list, but knowing who your ideal customer is, knowing who your ideal prospect is, the type of customer that you could sell to, the type of customer that's a good fit for your company. So with dating...
Wait, first talk about like what, who is the ideal customer for you right now in your tech job?
Well, so the ideal customer, it's a few different things. So it's like the account and then the people within the account. So it's a little bit different of example, but it's a software company that we're selling to, and then it's marketing teams, sales teams, operations teams. So that helps me identify like who I need to be going after. And if I have an account that looks like that, then okay, it's worth pursuing. It's worth exploring a little bit more. If I don't have an account, if I'm looking at an account and they don't have a sales team, a strong sales team or strong marketing team, or they don't fit a type of profile, or the industry I'm going after, then I know that's something I probably shouldn't spend my time with. So then how would that be similar to dating?
Well, having an ideal customer, and there is an entire lesson on this in my brand new course, Attract Your Husband Academy. You want to get really specific on who your ideal husband is and have a list of all the things that you're looking for. And then also knowing your non-negotiables. And that's something we talked about. I had a free masterclass that was live last week called the Magnetize Marriage Masterclass. And we talked about like, if you're going to be picky about a car, or you're going to be like looking at all these specifics around a car. And if you're going to go like a car lot, you're usually going to have an idea of what you're looking for before you arrive to a car lot. And I was saying like how crazy it would be if you go to a car lot and then the car salesperson's like, what kind of car do you want? And you're like, I don't know, just a nice car that works, that just like runs nicely. And you're like, I imagine like the salesperson would have no idea what to give you. It'd be like, do you want it to be automatic? Do you want it to be a stick shift? Do you want it to be electric? Do you want it to be gas? Do you want it to be a car? Do you want an SUV? Like, there's so many questions to help you clarify. So it's like, if you're going to spend all this time clarifying stuff, like for a car purchase, which is obviously an amazing and big purchase, but like a car purchase is nothing in comparison to your husband. So why wouldn't you give yourself permission to niche down and know exactly who your ideal husband is?
Yeah. And then do you want to tell the story of what you had your list, and because you had your list, you're able to be really clear. And that's a big reason why we found each other.
Yeah. Cause then you're able to walk away from people and situations that aren't a good fit because you like know what you're looking for. And I think it's a lot of it obviously does come to belief that there is that exists. I think that sometimes it can be really easy to be like, well, maybe I'm being too picky, or maybe like there's no such thing as what I want. It's easy to tell ourselves that in the moment, but in reality, there is such thing. And yeah, they're not going to be like a perfect human being and have zero flaws, but having a list just creates clarity. And I gave this example too. It's like kind of random, but, and I actually was thinking of doing a whole episode on my skincare routine because I'm so passionate about my skincare routine these days, but I shifted from using any products that I was recommended to using only products that have no pore clogging ingredients. And so there's a website that I use to check if any of my skincare products have pore clogging ingredients. And like 95% of products on the market have pore clogging ingredients. So it's actually so freeing now when I go to like Sephora or Ulta or anywhere like that, because I don't look around and think, oh my gosh, there's thousands of options that could apply for me. I'm like, literally 95% of the things in here have pore clogging ingredients, which I will not put on my face anymore. And so, you know, it allows me to have like that freedom. Like I feel so much less stress. And I feel like it's the same thing when you know what you're looking for in your husband. It allows you to walk away from people so much quicker and allows you to feel freedom. And like, you know that there's people out there that fit your description, and there's like numerous people out there that can fit your description, but it's not everyone. And so you kind of actually like feel better, because imagine, same with like you with sales, if everyone was your client, imagine how overwhelming that would be to every time you go to a party, you're like, everyone here I have to sell to. And if every time you got on LinkedIn, every person that you saw on LinkedIn, you had to sell to, like, it would just be too much pressure. So it's like, there's actually freedom and rest in having that specific list and knowing exactly who you are looking for and who you're offering your goods and services to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and also, even if you're given like a list, like getting niched down even further, like the pickier you can be, the more specific you can be, the better. So it's like more than just, oh, I want somebody that has dark hair, 6 foot, lives in California. It's like, go deeper than that. And you teach that in your courses and on your content too.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's good.
So number one, knowing your ideal clients in sales.
Number two. Prospecting. My favorite.
Prospector. The old prospector.
All right. So prospecting is when once you've identified your ideal customer or your ideal person that you're trying to attract in dating, you want to start prospecting. And I know it's guys are probably like this too, but just knowing you and the clients that you talk to and the things that you teach in your courses, it sounds like a lot of women have challenges around putting themselves out there, making themselves available, hoping that they attract their person just by, you know, sitting at home doing their thing and saying, you know, there's no good guys out there, but they don't put themselves out there.
Yeah, or using a dating app, but like only using it like once a month for like a day and then forgetting about it, like not being actually consistent in your prospecting.
Yeah. So same thing goes for sales. There's a saying in sales called prospecting cures all problems. And that basically means like, even if you have a bunch of deals, even if you have a bunch of opportunities in your pipeline, if you're not continuously prospecting and refilling the pipeline, you're going to close those deals and then you're going to wake up and there'll be nothing to continue to go after. And I know with dating, we're not talking about, you know, ultimately the goal of having 7 different husbands, but it's kind of the analogy I would put here is it's like going on different dates and it's like not every date is going to go well and lead to something else. So it's okay to put yourself out there to make yourself available so that you have options and you have, you know, different backfills. I mean, when you and I started dating, you were what, talking to 3 different people?
You were number 4. Yeah.
I was number 4, but then I quickly became number 1 overnight. within 12 hours.
12 hours later.
So, but the caveat is it's like you don't want to just date, put yourself out there so much and it's just like kind of massively spread across the different things. That's why it's important to start with that ideal customer, your ideal person, and then trickle through that filter. So you're only going on dates with those types of people that actually could be considered that long-term person.
Yeah, very well said. The one thing I guess that like I don't know if we wrote this down necessarily in sales, but like in sales, you gotta have to like perfect and sharpen and hone in on your own skills to become better at sales, right? There's like psychology of sales and like learning how to be the person that believes in what you're going after. Denny, stop. Dog is like playing with my straightener, which was hot like 10 minutes ago. What are you doing, girl? Come here.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry, our child that we love very much. And she's so cute.
You were talking about skill development.
Oh, yeah. And like mindset and belief. Like, you know, you think about someone who takes a sales job, oftentimes they either don't have a base salary or they have like half of a normal salary, but their on target earnings are higher than, you know, like what you could maybe make with just a normal safe salary job. And so that takes like this belief in yourself and belief that you're going to actually be able to sell this thing to be able to make the money you want to make. And so I think that one thing we hadn't yet touched on is like the belief and the mindset and sharpening of your own skills, meaning for dating specifically, it's like, knowing who you are, being really proud of who you are, self-love, being proud of yourself and having that mindset of belief and personal growth and personal development. Like in order to be a strong salesperson, you have to do a lot of personal development and same with dating. Like in order to be a successful person when you're dating, you have to have done personal development, inner healing, growth, And so I don't know. I just thought, I just realized we hadn't really touched on that yet.
You gotta work on yourself.
Because like, it's not only like before you start prospecting, I guess the two things I would think that come before prospecting is one, the ideal client / ideal husband, and two, knowing who you are and having that belief and knowing what you're going after and having that vision. Because like if you don't even believe in the product that you're selling, you're probably not going to do a very good job selling it. Or if you haven't done development on yourself and your own skills and believing in yourself as an asset, you're probably not going to do a very good job selling it. Mm-hmm. So before you sell something, you want to understand the product or service that you're selling, and you also want to believe in it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the same goes for you. Like in a weird way, you are the product / service. So you need to actually believe in yourself and actually appreciate yourself so much so that you're willing to go out there and prospect because you believe in yourself as that quote unquote product or service.
Have you ever wondered what's sabotaging your love life behind the scenes? You know, deep down, there must be something at play here because what you're doing just keeps not working. Well, you are in luck because I have a free guide that's going to radically shift your world. It's called The 7 Toxic Lies That Are Blocking You From Attracting Your Dream Man. Here's what you'll learn. 1, how these 7 toxic lies are creating self-fulfilling prophecies in your life. 2, you'll uncover subconscious victim games that everyone, including myself, naturally play until we gain the awareness to heal it. And 3, you'll learn how to master the art of reprogramming your mindset so you can find the love of your life. I've been getting so many DMs from women saying how much this guide has helped them, and I can't wait to get a DM from you too. Go and click the link in the show notes and grab this juicy free guide ASAP.
That's really good. I mean, I think we all want these, when we're dating, we want to get in a relationship with like the most ideal person, the perfect person. We have really high expectations for that person that we're dating. But like oftentimes, like you just said, if we're not looking at ourselves and being like, well, what am I bringing to the table? How am I getting better? If I expect to be in a relationship with this person that has all these great qualities, like what am I doing to make myself more attractive to that person? So I love that. All right. What's the next one?
That one.
All right. Next one is first impressions. So you've created your ideal person prospecting. Now you're, let's say, what, going on a date for the first time or going on a sales call for the first time?
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just talk about Zoom world, for example, right? We're in this virtual world a lot of times in sales, and it's like people over the last 3 years from 2020 to 2024, I guess the last 4 years, have gotten lazy, just to put it bluntly, when it comes to like showing up with excellence in sales. And that's because we've gone from this world of like meeting in person and showing up to an office and like traveling and putting more on the line versus just like jumping on a Zoom call where like you could be in your boxers and a t-shirt and like messy hair, and just show up and like hope for the best. And I think that's a really big disservice to the sales profession and to yourself, because when you don't treat a sales call seriously, you don't get dressed up, you don't put on a nice shirt, you don't do your morning routine, whatever it takes to like get you in that right mindset, you don't prepare for the call, then it's not going to go as well. And that is bleeding into what I'd say like the real world and dating, like in a way where we've gotten so used to like just sitting in our room. And I never use a dating app, so like I'm hoping this lands, but like sitting in your room and just like swiping, and then like you show up to a date and you're kind of like not really prepared, or you don't like have any good questions ready to go, or maybe you're not putting your best foot forward, and it's like you expect it to go really well. And I just I think it's not just because like you don't care, but I just think it's the world has started to care less about stuff like that, when it's like those things are important, those things matter. I don't know if that tangent made sense or not. Help me put it on track.
I think it did. Yeah. I mean, probably the type of person, I mean, probably mostly women, maybe some men also are listening to this podcast. And like, likely you are someone who is really intentional because you're like literally listening to a podcast to learn more about dating and like how to attract your husband. But I think what can be really frustrating is feeling like maybe you're putting your best foot forward and that you're being more intentional or like that you really care, but then feeling like maybe out there in society that like some of the men that you're dating don't care as much or that they're not putting their best foot forward. So I definitely agree with what you're saying. Like online, the online world, both in sales and in dating, has created probably more laziness, less intentionality. And like, I just think it's worth saying that there are intentional men out there. Like Frankie was extremely intentional. And I know that Frankie's not like the only unicorn in the entire world, but there's probably truth to the fact that maybe it's a little harder in this day and age in certain ways because of the fact that everyone's gotten so used to this online,
she's good,
this technology world. And I was gonna say something else, but I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, and this isn't us like condemning you if you're if you don't feel like showing up a certain way, but I just think it's the point behind this is like show up with excellence. Like everything is an opportunity. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So maybe like for you, it's like going into the date, not expecting that the person's going to be putting their worst foot forward or that they're lazy or that they're not going to care. Like maybe you've had that experience. So it's easier to go into dates being like, meh, I always put my best foot forward, but they never do. So I'm just going to stop like expecting the best basically. But I would just challenge you to shift that mindset and like continuing to show up to dates with expectation that someone amazing might end up being on the other end of that table at the dinner or whatever. And just, yeah, I guess like believing for them to have a good first impression, like, and that you like, cause I guess I kind of feel like most of the people listening right now probably do put more time and energy into their dates. So I think that you're probably like not super unintentional, but maybe you have a hard time thinking that other people are intentional. So I think that it's just like believing that even if you're on the apps, there are good people on the apps. And even if you're going on dates, there are good men that you're going to meet on dates, and start to believe for good things instead of believing and expecting and looking for the worst.
It's good. I like that. All right. Number four, follow up. This one's pretty straightforward, but in sales, if you don't follow up, you can't really expect much. They say that the fortune is in the follow up. So how does this apply to dating from a women's perspective?
Gosh, I just love you.
I love you.
It applies, obviously, like I'm not a super traditional type of woman who thinks that like...
You're not traditional?
I know, what?
Really?
I'm trying to make a surprise.
That's hilarious.
I know. Should I
talk? Not make surprise.
Not make surprise. So... I feel like I never really thought that like the guy had to do all the follow-up. Obviously, like just like with anything in life, like there's give and take. There's like, you know, the law of like reciprocity, which is like learning how to receive. So there's all these like different things. Like, I mean, I don't believe in like yin and yang, but I guess I was going to think like yin and yang. So I don't believe in like going after someone hard if they're not like reciprocating and vice versa. But like with Frankie, I would say on the front end of our friendship, I was definitely giving a little bit more than you were giving as far as like asking more intentional questions. Then you would leave me on read on Instagram, and it's fine. I just podcast. Basically, I basically was just like, okay, that's fine. He just keeps leaving me on read, but I wasn't offendable. I think you need to like remind yourself not to be offendable. Timing is everything. And just because someone doesn't respond, I'm not going to like assume that he's not into me just because he's not responding. It probably is a little different maybe if you meet like on a dating app and you've gone on an actual couple dates or something like that. Then if he's not responding, like I'll just say I had a client recently and she had gone on a date and then, or they did like a, I think they did a FaceTime date or a phone call date, something like that. And then he said like, okay, like I'd like to talk again. And then she didn't hear from him for a few days. And then I said, like, I was like, well, why don't you text him first? Like, I don't think that you just need to like wait around for him to text first. So I was like, why don't you just send a message that was like, hey, I really enjoyed our conversation the other night. And he had like opened up about some deeper things. So I was like, maybe you just like, maybe he felt like a vulnerability hangover. So maybe you just reach out and say like, I really appreciate everything that you shared the other night. And, you know, like I enjoyed the conversation, whatever. And then see what he says and see if he's like reciprocates that. So she did send that. And then he kind of like, I think didn't didn't really reciprocate a whole lot. And so then of course, yeah, it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to give like 90% of the effort and then you give me only like 10%. That's not how it's going to work. But I also think that there is that follow-up moment where sometimes it's worth sending a text and mm-hmm. see how they respond to that text and not doing that text like, I haven't heard from you, or like, are you alive? Things like that. Like, like you don't want to come across like desperate or like mad at them that you haven't heard from them. Like, yeah, maybe he's a jerk because he hasn't reached out, or maybe he really is busy and he's like working through some stuff, and like maybe his timeline is just looking a little different. Maybe he's not like trying to get married tomorrow, which may or may not be a yellow or red flag, but maybe he's just like moving a little slower. And so I think it's just like, it kind of goes back to like seeing the best in people. Like if I had just completely written Frankie off because he didn't respond to some of my DMs, then we wouldn't be married today. But because I didn't get mad and I didn't get like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he never responds to my DMs. And granted, again, I guess to paint the picture properly is that like, he would often respond to one of my stories and say like a one or two word response, or maybe even just like an emoji. And then I would respond and kind of like try to go deeper and ask a question. And then he would leave me on read. And then that would repeat. And the next time I'd hear from him was he was responding to us. Because we were just friends. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if I was like, I do feel like there's a lot of women who are kind of like easily offendable and are like,
we're guys though.
Yeah, that's true. But just like looking for ways to like think of what's wrong. But I was like, I mean, obviously I was bummed he wasn't writing me back, but I also wasn't like, I was dating so many other guys. I was like, I freaking, my pipeline is full, sucker. Like I am a catch. And one of these guys is going to end up being my husband. I don't know who it is yet, but I'm going to keep putting myself out there till I find my husband. So I wasn't losing sleep over it, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
So I think that's how follow-up applies to women.
I love it. Cool. All right.
Moving on.
The next one.
Yep.
We've kind of touched on a couple of these, so I'm going to combine them, but be willing to say no and protecting your time.
Okay. How does that apply to sales?
So with sales, saying no, like we kind of talked about, that's why it's important to have your ideal customer profile and know who you want to go after. So just because somebody in sales, let's keep going down the sales talk track, wants to talk to you or wants a demo or wants to jump on a call and have more information doesn't mean it's a good use of your time. It might feel good because like you're busy or you're active, but even if I spent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 calls with this person, exchanging information, dating them in the sales world, I guess I'll say. And if we got all the way down and then, you know, they wanted to end up making a purchase, like, if it's not going to be a good fit for my company or for me, and it's going to be a small deal size, then I just wasted five calls, 30 minute calls or dates, you could say, on this person, on this account that isn't going to actually be worth my time. So it's the same thing for dating, right? Like just because a guy I guess we're talking to women here, just because a guy wants to take you out on a date or is interested in you, and you know, in your mind, because you've created your ideal person, you've created your list, just because you might get a free drink or free dinner or feel good about going on a date doesn't mean you should, because like your time is valuable. So be willing to say no, because emotions are real. Same thing with sales. Like you start to go down this path with somebody in sales, you go down this path with somebody in a relationship, like you'll start to feel things because like you're spending time with somebody.
Yeah.
So it's harder to break it off. So like, do yourself a favor, do the other person a favor, and cut it off early. And the way that you're able to do that is by, first of all, knowing your value, knowing what you have to offer, then knowing who your ideal person is, so that it's very clear, it's black and white. It's not a personal thing. It's just like, this is what I'm looking for. So it gives you the permission and ability to say no a lot easier, rather than wasting all this time, wasting their time, wasting your time.
Yeah, I love that.
And while you're spending time on those dates with the person that might not be a good fit, your other person might be out there like
trying to find you
with somebody else or trying to find you. So it's like, think of it that way. It's like, what's the opportunity cost of you going on this date?
Yeah. I think like, obviously sometimes you don't know, like maybe you're interested, maybe you're not interested, you're not totally sure. So then that's not a waste of time to go on those dates. But if you know in your heart that like, this is not your person, or you know that you're not really going to be a good fit, but it's just fun to hang out, that's when like, to what Frankie's talking about is very true. Like you are literally wasting your time, and your husband, I mean, I think that God is God's timing is good. And I don't necessarily believe that there's only one human out there in the entire world that you could marry and be happy with. But the way that I would think about it is like my husband, the man that's best for me, could be getting swooped up right now because I am wasting time with this human being that I'm having fun with, but I know he's not going to be my husband. Mm-hmm. So you got to be willing to walk away from good to get great. And one more thing I'm going to add on this, back to one of my clients, she was talking about how she went on a date with a guy, and then like the guy, she decided in her mind that she like wasn't really all that interested in him, but she didn't like tell him that. And then they like kept talking here and there. And then I basically was like, have you talked with him about the fact that you guys are just friends? And she was like, no, I think like he probably knows. And I'm like, he probably doesn't know. If you guys met on a dating app and you went on a date and now he's like texting you every day, it's probably because he's actually interested in you. And so I was like, it's not really fair of you to actually be wasting his time, because maybe energetically for you, it's not that big of a deal because you've written him off and you think he's just a friend, but you're actually like, I mean, to be very extremely blunt, I'm pretty sure I said this, you're being kind of selfish because you're basically not like having a hard conversation with this person to let them know you're not interested in them in that way. And then here they are getting their heart more involved. So this goes both ways, like do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. If you want a guy to not like waste your time thinking of you as a friend, even though you're like falling for him, do the same for a guy. Like if you've gone on a date, you see him as a friend, don't keep texting him every day without having some sort of conversation where you're like, hey, I see you as a friend. I don't see this going anywhere. And so I gave her that advice. She ended up reaching out to the guy and the guy was hurt. And he was like, yeah, I did think that we were like talking because this was like something more. And, you know, I thought this was something more, you know, and I'm not judging her. Like we all do different things like that. And I don't think she realized what, you know, you don't realize what you're doing because sometimes you just, it's just patterns and normal things. So there's no judgment on this. I'm just saying like, do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. And if you
not
like,
judging.
Well, don't.
I'm just kidding.
It's my client.
I'm kidding. I'm not her. Judging. I've done stuff like that before.
Yeah. We've all done things like this before. So it's not from a place of judgment. I'm just saying, yeah. Like when it comes to being able to say no, it goes both ways. And you want to be able to like, let a guy know that you see him as just a friend, if that's actually how you're viewing him.
Dang, this is a good episode.
Hopefully you're enjoying it.
All right. Should we talk about this one? Proof of concept?
Yeah.
I feel like we've covered it.
Well, what is proof of concept?
It's like dating, right?
Oh, proof of concept.
So a proof of concept in sales is when you are allowing the customer that you're working with to evaluate your technology. So it's basically like you're setting up parameters to saying, well, if this happens, then you will purchase our software. And you're basically testing that your software will help them meet a need.
Mm, okay. There's a lot of fancy words.
Yeah. I was trying not to like,
I know you tried to dumb it down, but it still fell a little over my head.
I know. So
but you did good. You did good.
Should we skip that one?
Well, I think like basically you can tell what it kind of means, proof of concept. They're basically like testing. It's kind of like if you get an app and you have like a free week on the app to see if you actually want to start spending money on it.
It's kind a good
of the
example.
Idea. And so I feel like that's what dating is like, it's the proof of concept where you are spending time, and instead of getting ahead of yourself and thinking about marriage really early on, which I know a lot of women who are hungry for marriage can do that. You get to start, like when you're doing your proof of concept and you're dating this person, you got to look at things with eyes wide open. I remember my mentors always said that to me, eyes wide open. When you get married, then you're locked in, but like eyes wide open, do not brush red flags under the rug. Do not act like everything's okay. It's not like, this is your time to really see this person for who they are. And don't just try to like hide different things about them. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, but I just think sometimes women like lie to themselves and they're like, everything's great, but really there's other things happening, and they don't bring the negative things out into the light, and then end up having a lot of heartbreak and pain because he wasn't a man of solid character, you know?
It's good.
So perfect concept. Check.
Next.
Ooh, marketing.
Marketing.
I love marketing. Marketing's my fave.
Marketing isn't obviously a sales thing, but marketing helps sales because marketing is basically like the brand, the air cover, the ability to get your company and your product known to your potential buyers.
Wow. More, really fancy.
Really?
Kind of feels
Dang
fancy.
it.
But no, it sounds good though. You sound really smart.
I'm not trying to sound
If
smart.
anyone's listening, you're in tech, you're
I feel like everybody
totally.
knows what marketing is, though.
No, everyone does know what marketing is. Yeah. Think I've said this before on the podcast, but when I think about sales, I think like you're going after something. You're like, you're pursuing. So I think of sales as more masculine energy. And then I think of marketing as more feminine energy because marketing, you're like putting the best like advertisement out there to get someone to come to you. Like when you pass a billboard that has like a catchy, not that I don't know, I don't really feel like billboard's a great example, but you pass a billboard and you see something like they're not pursuing you, they're putting it out there. And then you're like, oh, do I want to pursue that? And so I think marketing, especially for us as women, is like so important. And that's why it's like so much of what dating and confidence is like, well, I was what so much of what dating is being confident, because when you're a confident woman, then you are like, you can just walk into a room and you're going to be magnetic and men will want to come talk to you because of that energy you're putting out. So you actually don't have to do the
Who's that girl?
na
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 na na
na na.
na na.
She's
She's
that
that girl.
girl.
Na 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 na. Thanks, marketing.
So, yeah, I think that like the more you can be confident in who you are, love who you are, feel good about who you are, wear an outfit that makes you feel good, you know, get your hair done, like do things that make you look good so that when you walk out
Put
into
on that
public.
extra spritz of perfume, girl.
I love
I
that. Oh, you're so cute.
don't know anything else that women do
Just
extra.
perfume.
That was the thing that came to mind.
Oh my gosh, we still have to do that reel where you do my makeup.
No, I'm scared.
You were doing my
All
makeup.
right, next. Wait, do you have
So,
any other thoughts? Back to you.
yeah, I just think marketing is putting yourself out there instead of like going after people. So, like, even with Instagram, you think about marketing as like creating a reel. And when I like say, like, comment below to get my free guide, and people comment guide below. I am doing marketing and people are coming to me to get my free guide. If I were to constantly DM people and be like, do you want my free guide? Do you want my free guide? Do you want my free guide? Not saying that you shouldn't do that. Like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but that's definitely more sales in the way that you are pursuing that person. And so I think dating is just a little bit of a dance between sales and marketing, but you do want to like market yourself well as a woman because that's going to allow men to come pursue you, which is obviously part of the goal, you know?
It's good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, number whatever,
Eight.
not giving off desperate energy. So in
Ooh.
sales, we kind of touched on this earlier, but you don't want to be running around. You kind of just said it, but like chasing people down and being like, "Oh, if we don't close this deal, then I'm gonna not be able to pay for my rent." Or you don't want to be that person that's like, "I need this deal." So you're calling them 1,000 times, you're hitting them up at every hour, you're just chasing them versus like adding something to the picture, because people subconsciously or consciously will just be pushed away from that. So in sales, you want to make sure that you're going in with kind of detachment if you can, and saying, you know, I believe my product is going to help you. I believe I'm going to help you, you know, as the dating example goes. But like, if you don't think so, like that's your loss, not my loss.
Yeah, that's
That's the
literally what I was
energy you
about to
need.
say is like with both sales and with dating, it's not going in being like I need this, like I need this sale, I need this date, I need marriage. It's coming in being like, you need this. Like, you need my product. You need my service. My product or service is going to change your life and make your life so much easier. And same with dating. It's like, you need me. I'm freaking awesome. And obviously, you know, you're doing it with humility, but whatever. Like, well, I'm a freaking confidence coach. I'm going to say it. Like, you need me. You're going to be blessed to have me in your life. I don't need you. You actually need me. And I am the prize, especially as a woman. Like, we are beautiful. We are captivating. Like, the woman is like such a special honor to be a woman. And we are like these butterflies that are just like elegant and beautiful. And we obviously, both men and women add so many great things to the marriage, but you just want to like think to yourself, like, I am a catch and I am so incredible. And so, like, going on a date thinking to yourself, this man is going to be lucky to get to spend this time with me. And it's not to say that it's the other way where you're like, I'm not lucky to spend time with him. It's a both and. Like, with Frankie, like, I felt like he's damn lucky to be with me, but I also felt like I'm damn lucky to be with him, you know? So it's like a both and on that. And it's not meant to like elevate one person over the other. I'm not saying like women are better than men or something like that, but like, I'm just saying having that mindset of like, you need this, like, come after me. Cause you know, like this, I'm worth coming after. And that's the exact opposite of desperate energy of I need this. I need marriage. I should be married already. Okay, I need to go on this date. I need to, you know, hopefully show up good enough so that he'll like me, or I need to act like this so that he doesn't think I'm too much. Like, no, 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 none of that.
That's good. I love that. What?
No, not you, not at you. I'm just saying none of that. Like,
none of that.
And that little spit.
It got in my eye a little bit. That was fun.
I didn't mean to spin your eyeball.
All right, number something.
Wait, for those who can't tell what's happening, I'm like doing like a little like tongue spitting thing. Like, I don't know how you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Over there. It's like stick your tongue out and go.
Okay, so how do we want to land this plane?
Should we do these?
Yeah, let's finish with those ones.
Oops, sorry. I think this is an important one too, though.
Which one? Oh, all three of them. Okay,
we gotta say them all.
We have three left. We're gonna.
All right, the last one is. Three. Adding value, not the last one, but one of the last ones, add value. So in sales, and if you're getting on a phone call with somebody or calling somebody or reaching out, you want to always make sure you're adding some type of value. Like, what's in it for the person that you're talking to? What's in it for the other person on the other side of the Zoom call, phone call, in person? And how can you bring value to the table? So for sales, it's like, how can you educate them on something? How can you bring them a new insight? How can you ask a good question? How would that translate?
Come on, you're so handsome. Can you tell me? Yeah, my brain's blank.
So I think it's showing up to the date or to the conversation and like being interested. Don't be too cool for school. Like, oh, this is just another date or a free drink or coffee or dinner. It's like, be there, be available, like bring the energy, like have fun with it and add value. I don't know. It's simple as that.
Yeah, I think that this one actually goes hand in hand with the next one. So I'm going to say that one is ask good questions. I think that one way to add value to someone's life is to ask great questions. And like, I think about myself as a coach and how like my students and my clients really appreciate when I ask good, intentional, and sometimes hard questions. And I'm adding value because I'm getting them to think more. And so when I think about like dating, I think a lot of times, especially as women, we think that the main value we have to offer, unfortunately, because society has told us this, is that we have our body to offer and that we have...
Wrong answer.
And that's why so many women have sex so quickly, because they think, well, I don't know if I have that much to offer, but I know he wants sex and I know he wants my body. And so I know I can offer like my body, basically. Like, it sounds a little bit like cut and dry, but that's really what it is. And so... your body is not what makes you valuable. Your body and doing sexual acts for a man is not what makes you valuable. What makes you valuable is your brain. What makes you valuable is your mind, your personality, and what you bring to the table. Now, of course, there are some men out there who are dating for the wrong reasons and are going to expect sexual things earlier on. Obviously, like you all know Frankie and I's story, like we are Christians. We waited to have sex till we were married. That was something that was really important to us. And that's a whole other podcast, actually. But what I will say is that like, when you really know your value and you know your worth, like I could go into dates with guys and like, I am worth dating whether you have like without sex, because I know how valuable my brain is and I know how awesome I am to be around. And I know part of that is because I ask great questions. I'm super intentional. I'm fun too, but I'm not just like here to only have a good time. I'm here to like actually get you to open up and to grow. Like, growth is the most important thing. Like, Frank and I love helping each other grow, and we ask really great questions and we challenge each other because growth is so important to us. And so to me, that's a way to add value, is by challenging someone, calling them higher. I mean, I'm a pretty honest person. I call people out on stuff. Like, to me, that's actually adding value, because I'm going to make your life better because of those things.
Yeah, I think that's where we end it.
Dang.
That was good.
Little mic drop. Good job. Bada bing, bada boom. We said everything we needed to say.
Yeah, unless you want to talk about that.
Yeah, the only other one we had is network, which we'll just say, but that one's pretty obvious. Like, you got to network in business. You got to network with dating so you can go on more dates. Am I right?
Good job.
Good job to you too. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I think that Frankie has a call to get to, so that's why we're
good. I mean, I think that was it.
You just think we actually landed the point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, not really. I just didn't want people to feel like it was super abrupt.
It's not abrupt. I just thought it was such a good point that you crushed it and
it was just like a gold nugget to just like end the whole podcast with. Rough, my sweet husband. Okay, well, that's it. If you like this podcast, share it on your Instagram story so that we can help more people listen to the Next Level Confident podcast. And if you ever have a question or a podcast idea for us, we're always taking suggestions. So
put it in the suggestion box.
Put it in the suggestion box, aka my DMs, girl.
Thanks for listening.
And have an amazing rest of your day. Mwah!
Thank you so much for listening to the Next Level Confident podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or found it helpful, would you do me a huge favor and either share it on your Instagram stories and tag me, or leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. It helps us reach more people with this message. Frankie and I love and appreciate you all so much. And remember, the most effective way to become your most confident self is by slowing down, doing the inner work, and deciding to show up as the version of you who already has magnetized all of your desires.